Thank you, Brother Bro. Appreciate that beautiful song. Brother Weigel wrote that. How many of you knew Brother Weigel, knew of him? Raise your hand. That's great. I want you to think about today a word called consecration. You know, there are a lot of people that get saved. Some of them don't, but a lot of them that get saved never come to the place in their Christian life where they're really consecrated to God. You know, I believe when God saves us, He ought to get all of us. Everything He paid for, everything that He shed His blood on the cross for. I'm convinced that in our day and age, we have too many nominal Christians. Thank God for those who are serving. Thank God for those who are consecrated, both in service and in holiness. They go together, don't they? Service and holiness, consecrated to the Lord. Now I invite you to take your Bibles now, if you will, and turn to Leviticus chapter 8. We're in the Old Testament. As we think about this subject, being consecrated to the Lord. Leviticus chapter 8, and we'll look at verses 22 through 24 in this chapter, and then we'll move over to chapter 14 for a few other verses. In Leviticus chapter 8, beginning with verse 22, he's talking about offering sacrifice and sacrifice for sin. There are a lot of different kinds, a lot of different ones. But we want to look at these, and we want to look over in chapter 14, especially in the relationship to the cleansing of a leper. Verse 22 says in Leviticus chapter 8, and he brought the other ram, the ram of consecration. Why don't you underline that in your Bible? It's all right to mark in your Bible, or put a couple of little marks over in the right-hand column or whatever of your Bible, and make sure you think about that word. He brought the other ram, the ram of consecration, and Aaron and his sons laid their hands upon the head of the ram, and he slew it. They killed that ram. And Moses took of the blood of it and put it upon the tip of Aaron's right ear and upon the thumb of his right hand and upon the great toe of his right foot. And he brought Aaron's sons, and Moses put the blood upon the tip of their right ear and upon the thumbs of their right hands and upon the great toes of their right feet, and Moses sprinkled the blood upon the altar round about. Now let's go to chapter 14. Follow as we go to verse 25. And you can read previous to that, that he's talking about leprosy, and even after our text here, lepers and the cleansing of the leper. Not only the cleansing, but the consecration to the Lord. Verse 25 says, and he shall kill the lamb of the trespass offering, and the priest shall take some of the blood of the trespass offering, and put it upon the tip of the right ear of him that is to be cleansed, and upon the thumb of his right hand, upon the great toe of his right foot. And the priest shall pour all the oil into the palm of his own left hand. And the priest shall sprinkle with his right finger some of the oil that is in his left hand seven times before the Lord. And the priest shall put of the oil that is in his hand upon the tip of the right ear. And remember, the blood's already there. Now he's going to put the oil there. The priest shall put of the oil that is in his right hand or his hand upon the tip of the right ear of him that is to be cleansed, upon the thumb of his right hand, upon the great toe of his right foot, and upon the place of the blood of the trespass offering. And the rest of the oil that is in the priest's hand, he shall put upon the head of him that is to be cleansed and to make an atonement for him before the Lord. And he shall offer the one of the turtle doves or of the young pigeons, such as he can get. Now when we think of this leper, and leprosy is a picture of sin, and a leper is a picture of a sinner. And we think of this leprosy, we first see that it takes the blood to cleanse from sin or from leprosy. And that is an obvious thing to those that do not know Christ, because we're all sinners. And if you do not know Christ, you have spiritual leprosy. And the only thing, my friend, that is going to heal you, the only thing that's going to solve your guilt and your problems for your life and all of eternity is to have the blood applied. The blood of Jesus Christ in the New Testament representation. The Lord Jesus Christ in the typology in the Old Testament that was fulfilled by Him. So you have the leper and the blood. You had the birds that were killed. He said, kill one of the birds and then dip your hand in it and sprinkle the blood on the leper. And then in another place, He talked about the lamb. Kill the lamb. And the lamb had to be a consecrated lamb and a spotless lamb and a sin, as the picture would have it, a sinless lamb, picturing Jesus Christ. And the blood of the lamb, the blood of the bird, and the other bird was to be freed after the blood was applied to the leper. It's a picture of being born again, of knowing Jesus Christ. But then after that, when we get over in chapter 14, He's talking about applying the oil. Why the blood? Why the oil? Why not just say the blood and leave it at that? Well, the oil is very significant of being yielded to and consecrated to the Lord. And He says, I want to touch three areas of your life. Really four. What you hear, what you do, where you go. And then from the top of your head to the bottom of your feet, that your whole life, your whole body, which is a temple of Christ when you get saved, would be consecrated to the Lord. And I'm telling you, that is every Christian's need. That we have our bodies anointed with the oil of God so that our lives are consecrated wholly and completely to God. God must get sick of half-hearted Christianity. As a matter of fact, we know He does, because the book of Revelation, the church of Laodicea made Him sick. It was a lukewarm church. And you know the story of the reservoir up on the top of the hill. It was cool. By the time it got down to the people in Laodicea, it was hot and they didn't want to drink it. And they would spew it out of their mouth. And God says, a lukewarm Christian, a non-consecrated, dedicated Christian, just must upset God. God is not really pleased with that. And notice where He put the blood and then the oil. He put it on the right ear. And I think He's saying to us, at least symbolically, that our ears and what we hear ought to be consecrated to the Lord. We should not let trash go into our ears, into our mind, and into our heart. Be careful, little ears, what you hear, the songwriter said. And that's true, isn't it? We have a choice. We can listen to God, and that makes sense, or we can listen to the devil, and that makes no sense. There are always two voices speaking. The Holy Spirit of God is speaking to us, telling us what to do based on the authority of the Word of God, and then the devil gives us every other option in there, contrary to that, to try to keep us from doing what God wants us to do. We go back to His original way of scheming and planning in the Garden of Eden, in Adam and Eve, and God said, you listen to me, I've told you this, this is what you do. But when the devil came along, what did they do? They let their ears listen to what the devil said. And he said, hath God said? He questioned the Word of God. He always questions the Word of God, doesn't he? And so he did with Adam and Eve, and Adam and Eve listened to the devil instead of to God, and that's why some of you right now are tired and have a headache. Because of sin, the results of sin. That's why we were all under the curse of sin, because they did not have consecrated ears to hear and listen and obey what God said. They listened to what the devil said. And it's gotten all of us in trouble. Now, how are we going to listen to God? It's easy to listen to the devil. The flesh will cause you to listen to the devil. The flesh just comes up with all kinds of rationale and reasoning. Listen to him. This makes sense. Listen. Do this. Do this. It's all right to do this. The devil will always come to the flesh and attract the flesh and try to get the flesh to do the things that are contrary to God. But God says, listen to me. Now, how are we going to listen to God? How do we listen to God? We know that he wants our ears to be consecrated to him. We listen to God a lot of different ways. One is through our personal devotions. Everybody in this building should have personal devotions. Do I hear an amen or two? We ought to have personal devotions. What do you mean, preacher? There should be some time set aside every day in your life where you spend some time with God in prayer and Bible reading. And if you don't, then you're not consecrated to the Lord. Your mind is not consecrated to the Lord. I mean, it's just plain. You're not. We need to spend time listening to God through his word. And whatever keeps us from that, if we're too busy, and you've heard me say that many times, if we're too busy to have our devotions and spend time in God's word and the Bible, we're just flat too busy. We need to change our schedule. You say, I don't have enough time. You have the same amount of time as I do, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and the same amount of time anybody else in this building has. It's not the lack of time. It's how you use your time, what you do with your time, that makes a difference. And we've got to have time to hear what God is saying through his word, and he primarily speaks to us through his word. Another way you can hear from God is through Sunday school. Come to Bible study. You can't substitute for your personal time, but come to Bible study. We have dedicated teachers who prepare and study and teach the Word of God. That's another way to hear what God is saying. Preaching is another way. You can do it through CDs. You can do it through a lot of things. Online now. You got to be careful what you listen to. But there's availability of all of those things and a lot of things. If in doubt, just buy Dr. Barber's book. Amen. That's a great, and I'm saying that sincerely, not just because he's here. And by the way, I'm glad he's here, aren't you? But that devotional book he wrote, that's great. And if you hadn't bought that, buy it. And that'll help him in his retirement, all of those things. But buy it, it'll help you in your spirituality. Amen. It's a good thing. Listen to God. You know, God wants to talk to you every day. And he talks through his word and these things and through the Spirit of God. And we need to do it according to the word of God and let that be done out of love. So, we have the blood, which is the foundation for our relationship to God. We get saved by trusting the shed blood of Jesus Christ. The Bible says, thy faith hath made thee whole. But it has to be faith in the right thing. Not in the name Baptist, not in the Baptist church, not in your works, not anything else, but faith in Jesus Christ, the Son of God who died for you, paid your sin debt. We have to have faith. Thy faith hath made thee whole. And then after that, it's a matter of service. In the Old Testament, we know that the Bible taught about servants. Exodus chapter 21, you can read about it later. And he was talking about servants there, and they said that the servant, the slave that was purchased, after the 6th year was to go free. That was the law. They were to go free. So in that 7th year, they could leave. Nobody could stop them, and the owner couldn't stop them. But here's one thing that they had. Sometimes they would go there, and as a slave, the slave owner would give a wife to the slave. The slave would have children. The rule and the regulation by the law was that if he left after that 6 years, then he left his wife, he left his family, and he left the one that was his owner. But what he could do, and this is what some of them did, and it was done out of love. Love for the family, love for the wife, and love for the slave owner. He would take him before the judges and pierce his ear with an awl. And by doing that, he was saying, I choose out of love to stay here and serve you. And that's exactly what we ought to do. We ought to have our ears pierced with an awl that say to Jesus Christ, I love you and I want to serve you, not just to because of the legal stuff that's involved in it, but I want to serve you, Jesus, because I love you with all of my heart. Do you love Jesus today? How much do you love him? Do we really love him so much that we say, by your grace, I am going to be yielded. I'm going to be a person that is consecrated to you. And that's exactly what this man did. And he promised then, out of love, I will stay here and serve you all of my life because of love. Consecration. Well, then we go to the thumb. The blood and the oil on the ear and the blood and then the oil on the thumb. I'd say the thumb represents the hand in doing something for God. You know, I just believe that everybody who's saved ought to do something for God. Ought to be constantly doing something for God and serving God in some capacity. James said it this way, be not hearers of the word only, but be ye doers of the word. And he gave a lot of illustrations. We don't have time to give you all of those. But James said, don't just be hearers of the word. Go out and do the word. Do what God has said to do as servants of the Lord. And that would be doing something for the glory of God. You see, the leper's hand was cleansed by the blood. And it was made clean. But then by the oil, it was anointed. Why? To go out and help others. To go out and serve. Find your place of service in the local New Testament church. And I hear people, and they'll say right away, and some of you are thinking, well, where can I go? I don't know where I can go serve. And I'd say, well, whatever God lays on your heart and whatever you have the ability to do, find out your gifts. Everybody has a different gift. If somebody, the way that can be illustrated is if somebody dumped a bunch of food, they're getting ready to sit down at a table in the cafeteria, and they dump food on the floor, and that food's all there, and you have different people come up to them, and they represent the different gifts they have. You'd have somebody that would come up, and they're the people who have exhortation, and they would say to them, you know, if you'd have been more careful, you wouldn't have dropped that food on the floor. And then you have people who have mercy, and they come by, and they say, oh, that's all right. Don't worry about it. We all do things like that. You didn't mean to do it. They're just so kind to them. And somebody else says, I've got to go get something. I've got to go get the mop. I've got to get the bucket. I've got to get that up. And they get busy. They have the gift of administration or whatever. Somebody decides how it's going to be paid for. I'm just saying we all have different gifts. Find out what your gift is. Preacher, how do I find out? I don't know. Just try some things and you'll discover where your gift is, all right? If it doesn't work, that's not your gift. If it works, that's your gift. But there are other areas, too, that we as believers can serve the Lord. We're cleansed. Find out what your gift is and use your gift for the glory of God. Say, preacher, I just don't know what I could do. Well, let me help you out. Let me help you out. Saturday morning, what do we have on Saturday morning? Visitation, yeah. Saturday morning at 10 o'clock, you could come to the church. We'll put you with somebody. Do you know how to pass out a piece of paper? Pass out a piece of paper. Pass out a piece of paper. We'll put you with somebody, and you can start there on Saturday morning at 10 o'clock on church-wide visitation and go out with somebody and just do something for God. And I know it'll cut into your weekend, but hey, love, God, consecration, dedication, commitment. And then you will learn how to witness and follow somebody else. And then you'll catch on to the importance of telling others about the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm telling you, there are things to be done. There are things you could do. We have people that sometimes just need transportation to the hospital and back. We have people that need it. My wife transported somebody home the other day out of the hospital. We need people who can do that. We'll put you on the list. Do that. Help them out. Sometimes we need food service people. And I know most all of you women can cook TV trays, and TV lunches, TV tray lunches and all of that. And I know you have a microwave. Use it just like my wife does. And we get those great meals at Easter and Thanksgiving and Oh, that my wife, by the way, is a good cook, and she does cook. I'm getting out of trouble now. She does cook well, and she does cook more often. But I'm just saying, there's a lot we can do, folks. Get your feet wet. Jump in the water. Find a place to serve God. And then, I want to say this. When you take that responsibility, be faithful to it. If you're a choir member, don't drag in late and miss being in the choir. If you're a choir member, find your place in the rehearsal time and be faithful to it. You're serving Almighty God. If you're a Sunday school teacher, don't drag in late. Come in early and greet the students as they come in with joy and a smile and happiness and make them feel at home. And people in the adult classes, don't just get in your little clique and talk about the ball game last night. By the way, the Rangers won one. I didn't know if I could take that today. They pulled one out last night. But look for people and love people and help people and be there to help. I'm just saying, find something to do for the glory of God. Find your place. Be dedicated. And then the big toe on the right foot. Sorry, all you lefties. I don't know why God always says right. I guess because he's right. But at any rate, he talks about the steps of a good man are what? Ordered by the Lord. The steps. And I think that symbolizes your right toe could symbolize that. Where are you going? Where do you go? Where does your feet, where do your feet take you? Does it take you into a bar? Wrong place. Does it take you down the road to buy drugs? Wrong place. Does it take you into some other place that's not right? Wrong place. Your feet should be consecrated to Almighty God. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. Now, I want us to turn very quickly to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. And we have in this chapter some obvious sins and some that we would say are not so obvious. Sexual immorality and all of that, that's fairly obvious. And all of these things that are listed. Then there's some others we would say, well, they're not so obvious. They're not so major, but they are. Now look at what he says in Galatians chapter 5 in verse 19. And we're talking about our feet and we're talking about following the Lord, doing what God says to do, the steps of a good man, of a righteous man. And he says, now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these. Number one, adultery. A good man, a godly man, a consecrated Christian, man or woman, they are not going to live in adultery and commit adultery. They're not going to practice that lifestyle. Adultery is within the purview of marriage. When you're married, and then you go out with some other woman and have a relationship, that's adultery. Or vice versa. It could be a woman in another relationship with a man. That's adultery. And your feet shouldn't take you to that. And then fornication. What is fornication? We know it comes from the word pornea. We get the word pornography from it. Fornication has primarily more to do with those who are not married. That would involve people who are just living together. You say, well, it's common law marriage. Oh, where do you get that out of the Bible? I don't believe that. I don't believe the Bible teaches that. You marry and do it by the law of the land like God says, or you're not married. And you don't need to just live together to save tax money and Social Security and all of that. And all of those arguments go right out the window because they can all be taken care of in a lot of different ways. But fornication would involve watching pornography. It would involve having premarital sexual relationships and all of that kind of thing according to the Word of God. And then there's uncleanness. That takes in about everything. Everything seems to be dirty in some people's mind, in some people's life. Uncleanness. Lasciviousness means that there's just no shame. There's no shame. We live in a culture today where there's not a lot of shame. Instead of saying they're ashamed of their sin, they flaunt their sin. And that's our culture today. Lasciviousness, no shame. Idolatry. What is idolatry? I said in my Sunday school class this morning, anything. Now listen to this. You say, I'd never put a statue of somebody down there and bow down and worship to it. Here's what an idol is. Idolatry. Are you listening? Say amen. Amen. Idolatry is so important. Is anything in your life that takes the place of God's will? God and His will. Do you got it? Anything that takes the place of God and His will in your life. It may be laziness. Did you know that can become an idol in your life? It could be a boat. It could be a house. It could be a car. It could be a lot of material things. It could be some pet sin that you have in your life. It could be some habit that you have that you're not willing to let go of. It becomes an idol. And I'm telling you, idolatry is a sin, and God frowns upon idolatry. You say, well, I'm not like those pagans in Rome. Why not? If you put something in the place of God, that thing becomes an idol in your life, whatever it is. So idolatry is there. And he talks about witchcraft. Witchcraft is dealing, it comes from the word pharmakia. We get the word pharmacy from that. We get the word drugs. And those who are fooling around with drugs, and that opens up the mind a lot of times for demons to do their work in the minds of people, and they wonder why they're controlled like that, because of witchcraft. And then you have hatred and variance and emulations. Emulation is jealousy and rivalry. We don't need jealousy and rivalry in our churches. We need togetherness and camaraderie and serving God together and living for Christ together and giving of ourselves to the work of God. That's what we need. We don't need emulation, jealousy, and rivalry. And that can be in a family too. It can be in a youth department. It can be in a lot of situations. Wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, the party animals, just having a reveling party, orgies, anything goes. Last night when we came home across the street, and we've already told the young man, if he continues that, there's going to be trouble on our block. But they kept me up. I don't like to be kept up to 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock in the morning on Saturday night, Sunday morning. I need to get a little rest so I can think and come in here and preach to you. I'll let you sleep. I'll stay awake, and I'll preach. But they had I saw them just carrying booze in like crazy. And that was Super Bowl night. Man, they kept me up. Or they were having a party before the Super Bowl. They kept me up. And then I saw them come in yesterday. I counted about 13 to 14 cars. And they come in, and you see them walking in with their beer and wine and all that kind of stuff, and they're just going back. And then I heard them last night, and I thought, oh, Lord, I hope they don't keep this up. But what are they doing? And then this morning, there was about 7 or 8 of those cars still there. They spent the night there. What do you think they were doing? They were partying hardy. They were getting drunk. Some of them probably were so drunk they couldn't drive home. They were probably switching partners, doing all kinds of things like that. That's what the Bible is talking about, those people that are doing all of that. And he said, in such like, anything like any of these things. Now, if we're going to be consecrated to the Lord, we're not going to walk that way. We're just not going to do it. It's not going to be in our life. And there is immorality and all of these things that are there, and we can refuse it. Here's the contrast in verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit, the result of being saved and letting the Holy Spirit lead your life, is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ, they that are saved, have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. And if you haven't done that, my friend, something is bad wrong. You may have went forward. You may have prayed a little prayer. But these things, if they are ignored and they are refused, hear me now, in your life, then it reveals that you have not received the faith that leads to a transformed life. If you really get saved and you receive the faith that leads to a transformed, that it saves you, it will lead to a transformed life. And if your life hasn't been transformed, you have never been saved. I don't care what you did. You've never been saved. You need to be saved. And when you get saved, your life will be changed. You'll grow in the Lord. Sin will bother you. You will be miserable and unhappy if you're living outside of the will of Almighty God. And if you're not consecrated to God, that is one of the signs that we've never really got the eternal life that God wants us to have. I know that's strong, but I'm telling you, that's what He's saying. The works of the flesh are these. It is possible to be a carnal Christian, friend, but it is very unlikely that you're going to live that kind of life and constantly live that kind of life if you have truly been born again, saved by the grace of God. And so the fruit of the Spirit is there. And then He anoints the head. That was the last thing He was saying in those verses. He just poured the whole oil on the head. And I think, again, that is a symbol of total commitment. Total commitment, anointed, the blood applied on the hands and on the head and on our feet, and the blood that is applied on our ears and the hearing from the top of our head to the bottom of our feet. Total commitment and consecration to God. And the Bible says, as a man thinketh, so is he. If we think, I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. If we'll think what the Bible says, then we're going to be consecrated to Almighty God from the top of our head to the bottom of our feet. And there it is. The blood is the foundation. Friend, you have to be saved by the blood of the Lamb. If you're here today, you're lost, you're not sure you're going to heaven, I'm telling you, you have to be saved by trusting Christ as your Savior. You've got to come to the place where you say, I'm a sinner, I'm bankrupt, I don't deserve to go to heaven, I cannot get there on my own, I'm absolutely bankrupt, I need help, and my help comes from Jesus Christ who died and paid for my sins. And if you will ask Him to save you, friend, He will save you right now. Anytime, anywhere that you ask Jesus to save you, He'll save you. And I hope some of you today who are not sure you're saved will come and be saved. That's where it starts. That's the foundation. And then, my friend, the oil ought to be applied. Total consecration from the top of your head. Are you listening? From the top of your head to the bottom of your feet. All of your life given to Almighty God, our Lord and our God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, from head to toe. Could you say today that your life is consecrated to God, your time, talent, treasure, and all those other things, from the top of your head to the bottom of your feet. You are anointed by God. The oil is there. You're dedicated to God. You're consecrated to Him. If not, the only thing I can challenge you to do is do something about it. Just do something about it. If you're here without Christ, trust Him as your Savior. We'll stand and we'll be singing in a moment. If you've never trusted Christ, you're not sure, please just, here's what you do in our church. You step out to the aisle that's closest to you, and then you walk forward and say, I want to be saved. Let's all stand, please. And say, I want to be saved. I want to be saved. And somebody will show you, and you can pray and ask Christ to save you. I hope you'll do that. Don't put it off. And Christian, you know what God spoke to you about today? You know what He said to you? And I hope you'll do what God has spoken to your heart about, convicted you about. The Holy Spirit speaks. Father, bless now. The invitation is yours, God. The message is yours. God, help us to be consecrated, dedicated to You. And I pray for those that are unsaved, they might be saved in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you come while we sing?